James tonight. James chapter number 1. And we're going to begin with verse number 12 tonight. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. We've learned some very important things in our study of how to overcome or how to have a victorious Christian life. We've learned that God gives us some red flags that tell us when we're in a battle. Then He gives us weapons. We've learned 14 weapons that God has given to you and I that we can use from His Word. We learned last week that the first thing we need to do as we apply these weapons is to realize we must let God do everything for us. We must let God intercede on our behalf. And so as we do that, we need to let Him have His way. We're going to look in James just for a moment, if you would, please. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to look at James and some of the scriptures we read last week out of chapter 4, and then we'll pick that up and take it right over to James chapter 1 and see how that all ties in together to help us understand how we can have a victorious Christian life. Father, we ask that You bless this time, our Bible study. We love You, and we need Your help. Guide and direct us, please, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We learned last week, starting with verse 4, it says this in chapter 4, in verse number 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God, and whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So let's start right there. Let me say this at verse 11. God's telling us that we need to look at our own selves and not look at other people. I've got my whole plate is just full just with my life. It's very difficult for me to look at somebody else and judge them, but we're very, very good at doing that. It's hard for me to know the truth about somebody else's life, but we're very good at thinking we know the truth about somebody else's life when we really don't. It is amazing to me how much we take for granted that we know as if we were God Himself, but we really don't know. And so God is teaching us first that we really need to depend on Him and quit depending on ourselves. The reason we judge other people is because we're depending on ourselves and not depending on God to be in charge of things. Let's look at a few things here that we see. Now, we talked about a number of things last week. I'm not going to go back and repeat those things tonight because I want to move on quickly. But it says this in verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. So we learned, number one, last week that the very first thing we need to do is submit to God. When temptation comes our way, we need to realize that I cannot do this. I need to let God do this through me rather than me do it with God's blessing. This is often how we pray. Dear Lord, I ask that You bless what I'm about to do. That's the wrong way to pray. It's, Lord, I ask that You do what needs to be done and use me as Your tool to accomplish it. That's really how we ought to be praying. Because I don't have the answer. And when I think I'm just asking God to bless me, I'm really committing the sin of pride rather than submitting myself to God. If there's anybody I know I can submit myself to and be in full confidence He's going to do the right thing, it's God. You know, sometimes we try to submit to people, but then they come back and they bite us real hard. But I know this, if I submit to God, then He'll direct me, and whatever happens then, I know God initiated and God has put there. And even if it seems like it may be bad to me, it's not. It's something that he put there for a reason. I may not understand the reason at that moment. I may not understand that reason in my lifetime. But when I get to heaven, he'll reveal all that truth to us and we'll understand why he's allowed those things to come in our life. Sometimes we don't see the results in our lifetime of the things God did with us with our life. So we must let God be God, submit ourselves to God. Notice what it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So God not only tells us that we need to submit to him, but there is something he asks us to do, resist him. Resist the devil. Now how do we do that? To do that, we have to understand what we just read in James chapter 1. Let's take a real close look at this. Blessed is the man, in verse number 12 of chapter number 1, man that endureth temptation. The word blessed means happy. Happy is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So he's telling us that if we'll endure the temptation that comes our way, he has something for us, a crown. He wants us to overcome the power of Satan in our life. But he's not asking us to do it alone. Remember what it said in chapter 4, verse 7, submit ourselves therefore to God. Now we do that first. God has an order here in verse number 7 of chapter number 4. We submit to God. He empowers us then to resist the devil. If we just go to resist the devil, we're going to fail. I have tried this all of my life. I won't do it, I won't do it, I won't do it, and boom, I do it. I won't say that, I won't say that, I won't say that, and boom, I say it. I won't behave that way, I won't behave that way, and I won't behave that way, and boom, I behave that way. Because I can't conquer the devil myself. For us to understand how the devil functions and how temptation functions, then we need to understand what it says in chapter 1. Again, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Therefore, and neither tempt he any man. So anything that comes our way that's a temptation isn't from God. God isn't testing you. He already knows our frailties. He knows we're weak. He knows we're sinners, and he knows we're guilty. So he doesn't come along and give you a temptation and say, okay, let's see if they can make it through this. It always comes from the devil, the world, or your flesh. And we see it all work together here. So God doesn't bring any of this. It's what we bring to ourselves. So here's what it says. But when man is tempted, he is drawn away of his own lust. That's what we're bringing to ourselves. We have weaknesses. All of us do. Each of us have different weaknesses. Where I'm weak, oftentimes my wife is strong. Where my wife is weak, I'm oftentimes strong. That's what makes us a good team. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our strengths. And by the way, as I taught in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, the devil isn't like God. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't see everything. He doesn't hear everything. He's not God. He's not everywhere at one time. But he does watch us. And there's a whole fleet of angels. One third of the angels that dropped out of heaven, were kicked out of heaven, are his fleet of employees, if you will. They watch us. They report back to him. There is a hierarchy, I believe, that takes place amongst the devil and his crowd. And I believe that there's devils over certain levels. But they watch you and me. And they find out where our weaknesses are. And our strengths are, and they go after our weaknesses on purpose. I'm no genius, and neither are you. But I'll tell you what, you watch TV commercials, and you see genius there. But it really isn't genius. It's just man watching man. They'll make the biggest bar scene look like it's so much fun, but they never show you the results of it. They never show you the heartbreak of it. Oh, if you watch a TV show today, you'll see that being wild is the best thing for you. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't bring any peace to your life. It doesn't bring any contentment. All it does is make our life more difficult. But that's the lie. Because it's going after our human frailties and weaknesses and exploiting them. And giving them a different look than the reality that's there. Listen, you're not going to go out and buy a whole bunch of beer and liquor and all the things that the TV commercials are trying to get you to buy if they showed you the car wrecks. They're not going to do that. If they showed you the life of the drunkard who never intended to be a drunkard, that had one drink and before you know it became addicted to the liquor and now lives in the gutter underneath the bridge, and there's plenty of them that live around this area like that, who lay in their own vomit night after night, begging for that one drop of wine that they could have because their addiction is so strong. That's, they don't show you that. And they're not going to. Because they want you to buy their stuff. And you're not going to buy their stuff if you see the truth. So they go after our weaknesses. They go after our frailties. And so it says, but every man is tempted. No, let me go back to verse 13. Verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed means trapped or put in a corner. We oftentimes don't do anything until we really get in a corner. Maybe the corner is simply this. A bunch of friends come by and they put pressure on you to do what you wouldn't normally do. That's enticed. He knows our weaknesses, and so he builds the trap to catch us in. Why do we know that if you put something very tasty, like peanut butter, into a mouse trap, you'll end up to catch the mouse? Because we know the mouse is going to dwell there, put enough pressure on that trap, and boom, be caught. That's what enticement is. The devil knows our weaknesses. Now, remember, all of this is happening because the devil hates God, and he wants to be the God of your life, in my life. He hates anything that has to do with God. He wants to be God. So he's trying to do that by exploiting your weaknesses and mine. And he knows how to get to us because his little devils are watching all these things when we think nobody's watching us. They know what we do when we're alone, and they hear what we say out loud to ourselves. They cannot read your mind. Let me tell you this again. The devil cannot read your mind. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. And he's not omniscient. He doesn't have those powers. That's God's power. He's the only one that has those. So he can't read your mind. He reads your actions. Listen, you've been bought with a price. Inside of you and I lives the Holy Spirit. So he can't even move in there. All he can do is try to control us by what we've given to him. Now, notice now verse 15. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, it took me a long time, and my wife's here tonight. She's heard this now probably 100 times, but there's an equation that's here in Scripture. It says that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So, lust plus something equals sin. Lust plus something equals sin. But the Bible doesn't seem to reveal what that something is. Yet it really does. It's through the enticement. The enticement brings forth this. Are you ready? Opportunity. You cannot sin unless you have the opportunity to sin. Once you have that opportunity, and you combine opportunity with our lust, they conceive together, the two combine into one, conceive, that's what conceive means, and it gives birth to death, or sin, and which brings death. So, the whole key then is to understand that this is what the devil's trying to do to you and me. He's trying to trap us with our own weaknesses. He's trying to get us to the place where we have an opportunity to do wrong. That which we already have within our flesh, our weaknesses. So, alright, let's take a young person, for example. Here's two young people. They're maybe 12 and 14 years old. And 12 and 14 year olds, they're starting to become aware of their personal hormones. They're starting to become more active. So they're wanting to get in the dating game. They want this boy wants to like this girl, and this girl wants to like this boy. And oh, they see their mom and dad kissing, and they see other people kissing, and so they want to try kissing, and they want to try to do all these other things and that they're not supposed to do. And they're not going to do it in front of other people. They're going to do this. This is building up in them. This is part of the way we grow up physically. It is a weakness for humanity, but it also is a strength of humanity, for that's how we continue on. So it has its proper use, but it's not that proper time yet. So they have this lust one for another, and they cannot act on that till they have the opportunity to act on that. If you never give them the opportunity to act on that, if they never have that opportunity, then that lust cannot be conceived with anything. And thus sin doesn't transpire. And death doesn't occur. That death is not talking about death and hell forever. That death is referring to the results of sin in your life and my life. And that's the fact that we walk away from God. God's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. The Holy Spirit lives in us forever, but we can offend God. We can become an offense to Him. And that's what this is talking about. So when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, it does bring forth the death of eternal hell for those who never receive Christ as Savior. But in the Christian, that's not the type of death it brings forth. It brings a separation from God. Now we've made ourselves alienated from God. Now let's go back to chapter number 4 just for a moment now. And let's take a look at what it says there. It says, submit yourselves in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What's that resisting? Trying to remove that opportunity. I can't help my weaknesses. I'm going to try to fortify my weaknesses, but I always will have my weaknesses. So since I cannot necessarily overcome those weaknesses, what I can stop is opportunity. I can stop trying to conceive that lust. So what do I need to do? I need to run to God because I can't do this on my own. He empowers me to resist the devil or to get rid. He gives me opportunities to do other things instead of going over here. Maybe instead of going in the room together, the kids going in the room together, the one of the child says no, my parents said no, and I don't want to get a spanking, I'm not going in there. Okay? So we take the opportunities. We use what we have to the good for God rather than allowing the lust to take over and create opportunities. Because here's what our lust does. If we do not resist the devil in our strength, allowing Jesus Christ to flow through us to give us more strength, then we're going to look to put the opportunity there rather than withdraw the opportunity. That's what happens. That's what sin is. It's taking that opportunity rather than to resist Him. Now look what it says in verse 8, and I love this. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So as I submit myself closer to God, He gives me more power and enables me more power to resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil, to throw away that opportunity to do wrong, and use that time to do that which is right. The more I do that which is right, the more power I get by drawing closer to God. So the more I pray, the more I read my Bible, the more I spend time with God, the more I memorize Scripture. That's the importance of memorizing Scripture, because we're actually spending time thinking about the things of God. You can read the Bible and walk away from it, and you can read the Bible and not even read anything in your mind about the Word of God. But I promise you this, you can't memorize anything without giving it thought. That's why God wants us to memorize Scripture. So we give it thought, put our mind to it, to give us things to put against that opportunity. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All we're trying to do is hide that word in his heart, in our heart, to give us power through him to overcome the opportunities that the devil is trying to place in our way, that the world is trying to place in our way, that the flesh is trying to place in our way. Notice what it says now in chapter 4 as we continue. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. By the way, that's a promise. That's not maybe, maybe not. That is a promise. God says, you do this, I'll do this. Just like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. It's all to take it. Boom, it's over. Alright? Same true here. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What that mean, double-minded? Well, I know that many people say that means to be unstable, and that is a true statement. The word double-minded means to be unstable. Here's the instability. Remember, we're still in James. James chapter 1 was telling us what this is. The instability is that we keep taking opportunities that we shouldn't be taking. We don't take it one time, we take it the next time. We don't take it one time, we take it the next time. That's being unstable. Why did we get unstable? Because we haven't drawn nigh to God. The closer I walk with Him, the more stable then I become. Look again, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purify means to cleanse. Purify means to clean up. Purify means to take that which was corrupted and clean it. Alright, I have a water purifier. What's it do? I put the water in. It goes through the purifier, the filter, and that filter cleans that which is dirty. Well, our hearts have been dirty. We've been corrupted by the world all of our life. We've been corrupted by the flesh all of our life. We've been corrupted by the devil all of our life. I have a filter. You know who our filter is? Our Lord. His Word. By reading it, by praying it, praying to Him, by memorizing it and hiding it in our heart. Those are all filters. So as we draw nigh to Him, He filters our life and it cleans us up. Now I'm not talking about salvation. Now I'm talking about our behavior. I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about our weaknesses. I'm talking about our frailties. It's not that those frailties aren't there anymore. No, now they're being filtered. That's all. And what are we doing filtering away? We're really filtering away the opportunity to do wrong by filling that void with something else. I'm a smoker. And I'm trying to quit smoking. And so I chew gum to fill that void. Because if I don't put something in that void, I'm going to go back to smoking. I'm just gonna quit smoking. I'm not gonna do anything. It's gonna come back. It's because it's got a hold on you. It's got something there. It's got a part of you now. And so now you gotta fill that void with something different. Maybe it's a patch for a little while. But you got to fill that void with something. We have got to fill the void in our life that gives us the power to overcome sin by putting our faith in Christ. In other words, submitting to Him. Drawing nigh to Him, using Him to filter us so He can purify our hearts. Now it says in verse number 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. That comes from knowing the results of sin. I weep more about not wanting the sin than I do as a result of my sin. Dear Lord, please, I've got to have Your help. You've got to help me overcome this weakness I have. And I will weep more over that than I will over the commission of the sin. Because the more I seek Him and His power, the more power I get from Him. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. So, alright, can you help me, Doug? Could you come help me? Come right up here and stand right there for me, okay? And every time I take a step towards you, you take a step towards me. Stay right there. Stay right there. Are you ready? Every time I step towards you, you step towards me. Ready? Okay, we're closer, but not quite there yet. I'm drawing nigh to Him. He's drawing nigh to me. I take another step. He takes another step. I take another step. He takes another step. And now we're together. Why? Because I step towards Him, God steps towards me. As I step towards Him, God steps towards me. As I draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me. So as I come home from being gone for a while, and Doug, you'll be there, and I walk in the door, he calls me Robin, because I call him Batman. Robin! And then he runs across the room, and I run across the room, we're drawing nigh to each other, and then we meet in the middle, and we give a big hug and kiss to each other, because we're glad to see each other, right? We're drawing nigh to each other. We're becoming a team, a partnership. Thank you very much. That was a wonderful job, young man. Good job. That's all God wants from you and me. He wants us to draw closer to Him so He can empower us to overcome these things. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. Because see, that's what sin does. It causes us to laugh at the things of God. So let's change that. And your joy into heaviness. Sin is enjoyable. No question. For a moment. And then all the rest of it becomes heaviness. So why don't we reverse that? Let's make that sin a heavy thing and that opportunity a heavy thing so then we could rejoice as we get to victory. Then it says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. So when I recognize I can't do this, I can't change who I am, I can't change the weaknesses that I have, but I know who could. And that's the Lord. And so I got these weaknesses. The devil's trying to exploit these. The world's trying to exploit these. The flesh is trying to exploit these. So I'm going to run closer to God. I'm going to get closer to Him. And I'm not going to let my lust be conceived with opportunity so that it brings forth sin. I don't want that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to humble myself. That means fully surrender myself to the Lord. I've already said to submit. That's what he said in verse 7. Now he says humble. And that's to realize I can't do it at all. And just turn it over to the Lord completely. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So I'm saying, God, I cannot do this. So He comes around, and He picks me up. As a loving daddy picks up his child that needs help. And now, who has the victory? Well, we do. Why? Because the devil can't get through, my God. John chapter 10 tells me that I'm in my Father's hand. That Jesus is in my Father's hand and I'm in Jesus' hand. And no man can pluck me out. No man, no devil, no nothing. I'm in His hand and nobody can tear me out. I can't even tear me out. So what great stability then do I have? By verse 10, humbling myself in the sight of the Lord. And then He lifts us up. And that's the victory. So we just learned now how to apply running to the Lord in humility. Is that not one of our weapons? And we just saw in the book of James chapter 1 and chapter 4 together how this brings us to a victory. I want to overcome sin in my life and step by step, by step, by step, by step. Throughout the 35, 36 years now, I've been saved and serving God. I've conquered this sin and I've conquered that sin and I've conquered this. And I'm still conquering things. I still have to have the victory. I still have every weakness that I've had to conquer. They're all still there in my flesh. I don't have a new body yet. But as I humble myself before the Lord, He'll give it to me. Now, He warns us here. He warns us in verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Here's what happens. We start to get the victory. And then we start to judge other people because they're not where we're at. Well, now, wait a minute. 10 minutes ago, you weren't where you're at now either. Okay? So we need to be careful then. We need to be careful as God starts to give us the victory that we don't end up to become a God into ourselves. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do them all alone. Philippians 4:13 is very plain. And so as I look at this, then I must realize that I can't go back and judge others. It's easy for a drug addict to get irritated with, it's easy for someone who was a drug addict to become irritated with those who are on drugs because they say, well, I did it, they could do it too. Wait a minute, that's not what we're supposed to do. That's what verse 11 is warning you of and warning me of. Pride can pull in here. When we start to do what verse 11 says, we start to weaken our relationship with the Lord again and we're opening ourselves up to back to chapter 1, that lust being conceived that brings forth sin. So God says don't be that way. When the victory comes, give Him the glory. That's who needs to get the glory, not me. And now, ho, I did it. And how come you can't do what I can do? Listen, I cannot tell you, I've got to finish now, but I cannot tell you how it hurts Christianity when everybody's expected to act like somebody else. I'm not you. You can't live like I live. You're not me. I can't live like you live. So give me a chance to be the Christian I am. And don't judge me because I'm not perfect like you. And I won't judge you because you're not perfect like me. Because truly, none of us are perfect. James chapter 1, verse 12 through 16 describe each of us very well. We all have those weaknesses. We all get drawn away by our own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. That's really where all of us are. So then what we need to do is encourage each other. Pray for each other. Love each other. Encourage each other. And let each person grow in the knowledge and the truth of God as God leads them not where we think they need to be. Because it takes time. Each of us are individuals. And none of us have the right to play God. If you look at the end of verse 11, and I'll finish with this. Look what it says. It says, "But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." You know who that is? God. There's only one judge, and that's God. And so when we go around saying these things to other people, or thinking these things about other people, we're putting ourselves in the place of God, and now that's pride. Now, where's the devil really want you and me? Putting ourselves in the place of God, doesn't he? So God's warning us that as victory comes, you know what happens after every victory? We let down a little bit. That's what this is saying. All right, made it through that one. Oh, how come you can't do it? Boom. Now we're back in the same mess we were before. Didn't even realize it. So he warns us about these things. Because as victory comes, he wants us to continue to have victory after victory after victory, realizing that it's him working through us as him controlling a tool rather than him just blessing what we're doing. Because we don't have the power to do it. Lord, thank you for what we've learned tonight. And Holy Spirit,